text for this morning, oh, you may be seated, excuse me. Our text for this morning is the second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I'll read for you again these verses, beginning at verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Dear Christian friends, I would say that a theme running through today's scripture readings is what makes things valuable. If you're as old as me, you can remember a shoe called the Nike Air Jordan that was considered really valuable by people, not because it was made with expensive materials or because the manufacturing process was so expensive, but because that was the kind of shoe that had been used by the great basketball player Michael Jordan. Now, the shoes did not guarantee to the wearers that anything, but they were associated with one who had used it. Well, I remember those shoes. I think about them because they're like the water jars in the gospel. I think if there were brand names back then, whoever made those water jars might have made a killing off of them because not they weren't that expensive to make, but because of what they were used for and who had used them and what they had been filled with. They may have just been common stone water jars, but they were able to contain something very special. Now I stop and think, so what if those water jars hadn't been there? Now, of course, God made sure that they were, but without them, there would have been no miracle. Today's smartphones, they're not miraculous, but they are quite amazing. I looked and saw that a new one is valued $600 to $700. You can pick up a used one for maybe half that. What gives it that value is not, I think, the cost of making it, but what it can be used for. That is, what it can contain and what it can connect you to. A used one may not actually be more valuable, but may be more valuable to you if it's yours because how it has been used and the intangible things it contains. Well, what I'm leading to is the value of human life, which is devalued today by some, not just by terrorists and despotic military leaders, but also by some who consider themselves very well-meaning, especially life at the vulnerable beginning and end of life, because of what it can't do at the time. But life continues to have great value because of who uses it, that is God. And because of how he uses it to miraculously contain the Holy Spirit. And so we think about how we all need to have life through the Holy Spirit, how we are all made valuable in different ways, and how we all belong to the Lord who gives everything. Let's think first about how we all need to have life through the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led away to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Here Paul writes, "I do not want you to be uninformed." That's a polite way of saying, don't be dumb. Like you used to be when you believed in dumb idols. The Old Testament prophets called idols dumb in the sense that they were not able to speak. And they weren't able to see and they weren't able to hear either, even though they appeared to have mouths and eyes and ears. And the prophets said those who worshiped them ended up just like them. They didn't know anything either. Paul suggests here that there are various ways to be led astray to one of these many different dumb false idols. But he says there's only one way to be led to the one true God, that is the God who speaks by the Holy Spirit. And that is the way that we also are made able to speak the truth about God that Jesus is Lord. His point is that nobody who has faith is lacking the Holy Spirit. Faith in Jesus is essential for eternal life in connection with God, which is what we are made for. This is one of the most important reasons that it's so important to protect and preserve life from infancy, from the time first gives it in conception, not just because of the value of their physical life and what they can do with it, but also because they are designed to contain spiritual life. No matter what physical life is like, eternal spiritual life is always wonderful and miraculous. But infants are robbed of this spiritual life if they're not allowed to be born and then born again through the work of the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, which would be like somebody smashing those water jars in Cana just because they were empty, and so robbing everybody of Jesus' miracle. Paul, in our text, focuses on what we all have in common. And one thing we all have in common is that we all are conceived and born sinful and need to be saved. And the one way for this to happen is by the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word and sacraments. But then the Holy Spirit goes on to do more. We are all made valuable in different ways. Paul writes, "To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." Before, Paul said people were all the same in being idolaters, even though there was different forms of idolatry. But now he says people are all the same in being gifted by the Holy Spirit, even though they may have different gifts. He's speaking this to people who think, "Oh, I have some more special gift than you that makes me more of a Christian than you." Now, some are given special wisdom and knowledge, which is not the same as natural human wisdom and understanding. Paul says, however, even those without that kind of special understanding are not any less children of God and Christians, because they still have the gift of faith, which is knowing God as our loving Father, and there's nothing greater than that. Which is also true of many who may not have normal human knowledge. They can still know God as their loving Father. Some have special abilities to help others. And the purpose of those is the same as normal human abilities that God gives us. It's to be of service. Is that what makes us more special to God, however? No. Are those with less certain abilities any less valuable to God? And the answer again is no. There are those who lack common natural abilities, but who still have the ability to touch people's lives, sometimes because of their vulnerability, and make a difference in ways that nobody else can. Some, Paul says, have special abilities to communicate. But those without such special abilities are no less spiritual. Some people have more or less natural speaking ability, but that doesn't make those who are unable to speak as well less human. Instead, God is giving us a message through all of them that we need to pay attention to. One message is that having a particular spiritual gift or not is not what makes you more or less Christian. That reminds us also that having more or less natural abilities does not make you more or less of a person. Another point Paul makes, though, is that it's God who gives the gifts as He chooses. And He knows what He's doing, because all belong to the Lord who gives everything. Paul writes, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Valuing and respecting all human life can sometimes be complicated and difficult, involves some difficult questions. For example, new difficult questions are raised by the possibility now of surrogate childbirth, such as the question of whose baby is it really? But just suppose, in desperation to have a child, you harvested some eggs, which can be expensive and painful, and paid a huge price to pay somebody else to carry them. And then when the time came for delivery, you were told, oh, the pregnancy was too uncomfortable, so I ended it. How would you feel? What would you think? Well, the question of ending human life, either before birth or at the other end of life by suicide, is never an easy question, even for unbelievers. Even though it's a question that the question about suicide is now being raised more and more often. Because of the pain and the suffering that people deal with, sometimes physical suffering and sometimes emotional. But it's always temporary suffering to weigh against the reality of eternal suffering, which is separation from God. So now imagine yourself in God's place. The great suffering of Jesus on the cross has already paid the immense price of eternal life for every person that God has ever given the spark of life. If we decide to take a life that God has already bought and paid for because it's difficult for us, we are taking a life not just from that person, but from God Himself, which causes Him immense pain because of the value of that life to Him. If we think that a particular life is not worth the difficulty and the suffering that it's going to mean, God says, it's worth that suffering to me. I suffered for that life. I've been willing to suffer everything to pay for that life. Worth comes partly from what someone is willing to pay. The worth of everybody's life comes from what, from God's giving His own Son to buy us back so that we belong to Him, the Lord of all. The God who gives everything and empowers everything. The God who has a plan for every person that He's ever created to use them for a special purpose. Our Old Testament reading today says that Jerusalem's glory is going to shine. Now that's not because of any of the wonderful things the people in Jerusalem are going to do, because they're not, but because of what God does for them as their Redeemer. In the Gospel reading, Jesus does something glorious with something as mundane and coarse as water in stone jars. With every human life, there is value because God is doing something even more wonderful when He transforms us by filling us with His Holy Spirit. He has an important purpose and use for every life from the moment He gives it until the moment that He takes it. This is why all need to have life through the Holy Spirit. Everyone conceived needs the spiritual life which comes only through the Holy Spirit's work in the Word and the sacraments. And all are made valuable in different ways. But lacking particular gifts or abilities does not make us any less valuable to God. Because all belongs to God who gives us everything. Every life is valuable to God, who's already bought and paid for it by the suffering and death of Jesus in our place, because of His purposes for us here and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.